Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had quite a week. We have had quite a week visiting New York, eulogizing one of the greatest warriors in the history. I kind of wish that he was could be here in Benton Harbor to help out some of the situation that's going on. But Ralph was a man, just a great man. I mean, there was nothing in this world too hard for him to do. He just did it. You know, from a musician, he was he could repair motorcycles. He just was a great, great activist, a real one, not like the one that they have here. He's a real activist. He ain't made up by the media. See, the media makes up their own who they want to be activists, who they want to, anybody who's not helping black people, the news media will help and say that they're activists. So anytime the news media claims somebody to be an activist, you know they're not. And but black people, you got to get smart. We got to get smarter, not just for ourselves, but for our children. We must get smarter. And if we don't get smarter, we're going to be a dying race. We are going to be a dying race if we do not get smart doing things. You see, we're busy trying to be their friends. They don't want you to be there. Can't get something out of you. They don't want you. Why should they? You see, and Ralph was, he was a man's man, you know. He would, you know, some of the things that he'd do, you could call him, he was picking in the White House at one time all by himself. Picking in the White House all by himself. Now, you know these demons coming after you. They're coming. That's their M.O. They are coming. But we have to do what we have to do and worry about what they're going to do. You see, they better worry about what we're going to do. You know, we just need more people willing to take a stance. You know, as I tell you, you see, the struggle that has taken place in Benton Harbor in recent years is a case in point, one that holds a numerous of lessons for the residents of Benton Harbor and this country. You know, in Benton Harbor is a war over whether Benton Harbor will have prosperity, democracy, live in poverty, and have clean, safe water under the heels of open corporate rule. The attack on democracy, the attack on black people in Benton Harbor shows that the corporate power structure is determined to crush anyone who stands in this way. You see, and that's important because We don't do what needs to be done for our children. You see, if you build a strong foundation, it won't crack. You see, it won't crack. You see, and that's important. We have to build a foundation that will stand. Because we're up against some evil, wicked people. Black people, too. It's not just white folks. You got black people actually working with them, actually have black people working with white folks, to destroy you. That's right. That's their MO. That's what they do. See, that's why there's not many rap pointers around. I got to say this. There's not many. We would probably have to have at least a million or two, at least 2 billion people like him. Came here to Benton Harbor. Him and Sheriff Bailey was going to go chest to chest. You know, see, that's how you have to deal with it. You can't be intimidated by this evil, wicked system. And Rap wasn't intimidated by it. Oh, man. Rap was, like I said, he was a man. He had what we call capacity. You see, when you got capacity, there's a lot of stuff you can do. God will put the Holy Spirit on you. He will. And we won't ask for nothing in exchange. And that's how we have to do when we're dealing with things, you know. Cannot sit here and do nothing and think everything going to be all right. It's not going to happen. It's not. You can sit in your house and say, well, you know, just let everybody else do the work. Your day is coming. You're dealing with bad people. Bad people do bad things. That's their history. You know, there's nothing worse in this world than people trying to destroy your children and give to others. There's nothing worse in this whole wide world. But we accept it. Because the first thing black people say, well, I don't want them white devils coming after me. My question is, what is the use of being born? What is the use of being born if you're not making our world better for those who will be or those who will come after us? The use of being born if you're not going to make our world better for those who will come after us. We have to build. We have to make sure that we're doing the things that need to be done. You see, a lot of times, see, black people want to just go along to get along. You know, oh, I don't want no smoke. I don't want they going to do this and this. They're going to do it anyway. If they don't do it to you, they're going to do it to your children. See, this is what black people don't understand. America, you are killing black people. Killing black people in the classroom. And I say this. Benton Harbor school system will be classified in a white community as child abuse. That's right. Benton Harbor school system will be classified, they will send out children and family service to challenge them. You see, they would. Because they don't care. They don't care nothing about your child. If your child is black, they do not care about your child. They don't. And they never will. Because most of the time they think the parents don't care. But sometimes the parents have to work two jobs just to feed their family. And they don't have the opportunity to check on their children like they should in the school system. You see, one girl was getting raped inside Benton Harbor area school. And Ronaldo Triplett knew about it and did nothing. Now he's on the school board. Yeah, he knew about it. You see, but who in their right mind would put someone like Ronaldo Triplett on the school board? Who would vote for him for anything? Who would be voting? Matter of fact, he's not supposed to be in Benton Harbor school system. He made a deal with Lansing School Board that he is not to step foot inside Benton Harbor area school. He was barred from there. Now he's on the school board. You see, this is how people think in Benton Harbor. This is why we're you know, years to get anywhere. This is, they put a man in the school system that's been barred from the school, put him on the school board, and went on and voted for him. You see? Unbelievable. When I say unbelievable, I mean exactly that. They went out, this guy was barred And there have been different reasons why they claiming, you know, even as far back as molesting a child. You know, I wasn't there, so I'm not going to really comment on that. But they barred him because of that. Somehow, you went out and voted for him and allowed him to be on the school board. I mean, y'all, you know, it's not funny, you know. I may be laughing, but it's really not funny. But this is our history. This is what we do. You see, Trinborn, another one. Who would vote for Trinborn and Ronaldo Triplett to be on somebody's school board? Who would do that? Ronaldo Triplett, he went to testify for Carlton Lynch and was lying. He was like, he got on that stand and lied. The girl had the tape. I don't know why they, you know, I guess you can't record. See, I don't know whether the law says that or what. I don't know that. You know, that's something I do not know, and I'm not going to confess and say I do know. I don't know that. I don't have that information. But she had him on tape telling him about this guy sexually attacked her, them preachers sexually attacked her. And he got on the stand and said he knew nothing about it. And he's on your school board. You people don't have no shame. Y'all get what y'all deserve, most of y'all. But some of y'all deserve better. Some of y'all deserve better. But you got to do better. If you deserve better, you got to do better. You got to do better. You see, you put your children in this compromising position, then you cry like babies. When they kick them out and they go around here shooting up folks, you'll cry like a baby. He was a good kid. No, the leadership is the problem. You know, America, you are killing black people. You are killing black people in the classroom. You are killing black people in the hospital. You are killing black people in the courtroom. You are killing black people in the streets. Anytime, see the news media praising a black man, the white news media, praising a black man, you know that he's doing something to destroy black people. So when I say America, you are killing black people, I mean exactly that. You are killing black people. Classrooms, you're killing them in the hospitals. And look, we have more babies that die than any other race, even the new people that come in here. Black folks have more babies who die at birth than any other race of people. You see, they're killing us in the hospital. I myself, I got to admit, I'm very concerned about ever going to the hospital. I better make sure if I go to the hospital, I have everything in order. Because I know these devils. I know that they're pulling the plug on people that they shouldn't. I know how they operate. We're dealing with evil, wicked, wicked people. Evil, wicked people. We're dealing with them. And we're allowing them to get away with this mess. And then we cry like babies while we ain't got nothing. If you ever thought about doing what was right, come together and doing the right thing, we can defeat these people. One thing about me, I tear them up. You know, I be looking for them, you know, because I know that they can't handle me, you know. I know they do all these kind of tricks and different things. This is what they do. But black people have to understand, you know, don't vote for a black person because he's black. That ain't going to get you nowhere. Matter of fact, the average person is playing to their music. That's if they're elected officials. And then any time You see the news media trying to build black people. You know he's no longer on your side. You know, just the other day, this girl came to me and she said her exact words, she said, the nation of Islam should know that Mayor Marcus Muhammad is a Sambo and a straight-up sellout. They should know. You know, anybody who have any experience at living in a black community, you know. That's the main reason why I say America, you're killing black folks. And we're letting them. We're letting them. Here's the shameful part. Minister Louis Farrakhan was at my home. He was at my home. And he, we sit down, you know, normally have a conversation. Then this guy, Marcus Mahoney, wants to come visit. You know, at that time, I almost considered him a friend. You know, the nation was there, and I still consider the nation my friend. I love the nation, you see. I love it, you know. But right now, I got issues with it because I let this guy come into my house, and I knew better. But at that time, he wasn't in an authoritative position. I knew this guy, Marcus Muhammad, was, I just knew something. You know what I'm saying? I knew something was not right about him. I knew that. You know? And I know they knew it. So what I did, I allowed him to come in my house to sit with me and the minister. The minister didn't know who he was. He had no idea who this guy was. He was in the nation. But the minister didn't have no idea who this guy was. So I let him come in and sit at my table, my kitchen table, me, him, and the minister. And the minister said, he said, Marcus, why don't you run for mayor? Reverend Pinckney will help you. And I would, because the minister would want me to do that. Because he helped me. He really came out and helped me. You see, but now I'm not comfortable. He told this guy to run for mayor, and he asked him three questions. Will you take care of the people? Will you take care of the people? Will you take care of the people? And he said yes. So I did a recall of the former mayor, and the power to be, well, you know, you expect this to happen. The power to be came after me, even though I don't even live really in Benton. I live in Benton Township, you see. I really had no bones other than for the people, my love for the people that live in Benton Harbor, because I kind of feel sorry for them more than anything else, because I'm looking for the people, the intellectual people, the intelligent people. That's what I'm looking for in Benton Harbor. And I'm yet to find that. People that are intelligent enough to know how to stand up and fight for the future of the children. I don't see that in Benton Harbor. That don't happen. And that's the reason why I'm telling you that America, you are killing black people. You are killing black people in the classroom. You're killing black people in the hospital. You're killing black people in the courtroom. You're killing black people in the streets. You are killing black people. And it's unfortunate that you guys do the same thing over and over and over again. We allow it. We allow them to get away with stuff like this. We allow them to be like this. And we say nothing. We say nothing. We don't want them to come after us. But you got something for me, bring it on. That's how I look at it. You know, we're willing to make the sacrifice for our people. But anyway, I did the recall of the mayor, not the one present, the one before that, to get this guy in office. Soon as we got this guy in office, he flipped on me. The first thing came out of I'm the mayor for all the people. You know, some of that Obama stuff, you know. And I'm listening to it. Matter of fact, I went to prison, you know. I had to do 30 months. Not because of something for myself. This was done for something for somebody else. You see, I did this for somebody else. I had no bone in this dog fight. But I did it for the people. We got this guy in there, and immediately he flipped on us. He became Whirlpool Man. He became Whirlpool Man. He became Whirlpool Man. And that's really what it's all about. Please, white folks. And white folks don't give a rat's butt about you. They don't. We're always out there trying to please these people. You see? You know? And, you know, we're in trouble. You know? We're in trouble mentally. You see? Because we need to find where are all the smart people who's able to think. That's important to us. Where are all the smart people who are able to think, argue? Where are you? See, it's not about you. It's not about you. You know, it's about the future of our children. And that's what is at stake here. That is exactly what's at stake here, the future of our children. The fight is on. The fight is on. The fight is on. I'm going to bring in my good friend Annette. I want to talk about a little bit about the Sambo Super Bowl, which will be taking place February 1st. Houston, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Columbus, Ohio, and Cincinnati, Ohio. The city of Benton Harbor, a very, very small community. We've had black flight. You know, you heard of white flight. We got black flight. We got black people fleeing from Benton Harbor. We got black people fleeing from Benton Harbor. Can you believe that? We have black people who is actually fleeing from Benton Harbor, Michigan. It's one of the poor cities, but what they're doing, they're building up the outskirts, the downtown area, that area over there on territory. They're building that up for white folks, you see. And they got the right man in there. This guy, they trying to make him something that he's not, you know, and he loved this. He loved this light on him. But he's a real, he has won the Sambo of the Year. Real, actually, for the last 2 years. This year, my legacy is the winner of the Sambo of the Year award. And this girl came to the church when I got back from New York, and we had a pretty good conversation. And she was telling me the history of my legacy. She was saying, well, you know, that's I ain't got nothing against, you know, if you're gay and stuff like that, I don't care nothing about that, you know. But I guess she thought that I would, you know, that to me that was a big deal just because she said, so, you know, to me, you know, whatever her preference is, that's her, you know. But any time that you hurt our children in our community, I got a problem with that. And she called her. She said I don't use the B word, but she called her a H B, you know. And she went on and on, and she started talking about her history, her son. Her son also is up for the Sambo of the Year award also. He's definitely in the running himself because he's a character too. And, you know, That you know, how to say the apple does not fall very far from the tree, you know. And that's what they say, that he worked for AT&T, and he was over this lady's house, and now he's a preacher now. He's a preacher. He's a pastor. He took over his daddy's church, and he became the pastor of that church, you know. And the people accepted because it was more of a family church. Even now, they probably got about 10 members, you know, and all of them family. And what he did, he's up in the lady's house, and the husband come home and catch him up there, and he's scared to go outside because the husband and the woman locks the door. She put the double lock on the door so the husband couldn't get in. And then they called about 5-6 SWAT car come zooming up there. And that's in Benton Harbor too. That's it. It was in Cochin. They was in Cochin. And about 5-6 cars had to walk him out the place because he was scared to death. But this is the type of person he is. He was was counseling this couple, and the husband and the wife. They went to his church at that time, and he started going with the wife. The husband came home and shot and killed the wife. Shot, and he burnt the, they had a beautiful home. He burnt the house down. He burnt it up. He's in prison now, but he's scheduled to get out soon. He's been in, well, you know, I don't know, 8-9 years. But unfortunately, so anybody, I mean, what type of person, knowing this information, going to go to that church? That's why he only have family there. You know, people know, they know who he is. They know what he is. So these are the samples. But I tell you, Queen Bee, my letter six, is the number one sample of all. She's number one. And we're going to be facing off with Houston. You got the email. I'm going to need everybody to email me because this is going to be tough. It's going to, we're only 16 days away from the Sambo Super Bowl. That's important. You know, even if we don't win, my job is to spread the word, stop these Negroes from destroying our children and our women. Stop them. If we don't stop them, they're going to continue doing the same thing over and over again. We have an obligation to stand up. That's why we're in this compromising position today, because we have failed to do what we need to do. We got kids running all over this place, shooting, doing drive-bys, you name it, breaking in stores. They're doing everything because we have allowed it to happen. We didn't build that foundation so they could sit on it and grow. We didn't do it. You know. So now what we got to do, we got to make sure that they understand all the hell we have been through, you know. And black people, when you're living in a black community, most black people don't know this, but you have to pay what they call a ghetto tax. You see, that's the extra cost that you have to pay. You pay for everything, everyday goods and necessities, you know. Anything that needed to for you to survive, you pay what they call a ghetto tax. We don't own, like here, the Arabs own all the stores. I don't go to them. I would never go to them. This is an emergency. But they, I have no other choice in this whole wide world. I will not go to an Arab store. I won't do it. I won't buy gas from them. If I'm on the highway, I get in there and there's an Arab, I'm leaving. That to say that, well, I'd rather deal with white folks. I'd rather spend my money with white folks than Arab. I do. And that's me. Because I know once the Arab get the money, they're going to take it directly out of the community. They're going to take it directly out of the community. That's what they do. And I just want people to know, you know, let me tell you a little bit about me. You see, I'm going to say whatever I want to say. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. The only thing I ask of you, don't bother me, and I won't bother you. As long as you stay out of my way. I don't talk to you. If you're a Sambo, I don't talk to you for any reason. If my house is on fire, don't even call and let me know. Don't do it. If I see you in the grocery store, if I see you first, I'll go the other way. Because I don't want you to come past me. I don't want that spirit to jump out on me. Because these Sambos have, they got this spirit that you don't want. That's a Sambo. That's a Sambo. That's a Sambo. And if you could be the Sambo of all the hell that we have been through, then you about the sickest they can be. You sick. How could you be somebody who have been robbed of themselves and all the hell that we have been through? And you say nothing. You say, how? You know, as a people that has been traumatized for over 450 years, we have 450 years of abuse, mistreatment, torture, hanging at will, and nobody goes to jail. Rape, and nobody goes to jail. Rape the men and the women. They don't just rape the women. They rape men, and they rape the children. And you got the nerve to want to be a Dawn Sambo. See, Whirlpool Corporation, they manufacture stoves and refrigerators, washer and dryers, and Sambo. And they put their label on the back of your neck. They're attacking our children now with the Boys and Girls Club. They're making them your little Sambos. The parents don't know. Their minds are not built to compute stuff like that. But it's unfortunate. But I'm going to close by saying this and bring in Annette. And I just want to say, you people out there, we got to get better. We got to get better. If they're not for you, that means they're against you. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. So let's do what we got to do. Let's stay focused on the big picture. Let's do what we need to do. And I'm going to be switching over to my Blog Talk Radio. And I just want everybody to know, God bless you. God keep you. And hang in there. Annette, are you there? Talk to me.
All right, Reverend Tickney.
We're gonna it's going down, girl.
In 2024. All
there
right.
There you go.
Happy birthday Dr. Martin Luther King. We want to happy birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King. We want to give him all of the honor and the glory that he deserved for what he did. Wow.
Absolutely. What he went through.
Yes. And it's just a clear example of what we are still going through. But I also want to say he actually has so much more support than we did, Reverend Pickney. He had a lot more support because the people were coming together and organizing, the youth, the churches, the communities. But like you say, we got these Sambos, Super Bowl that's going down. Please, whatever you do, include Columbus, Georgia, along with Las Vegas, Nevada. We got San Diego, California. We want all of the cities to come on board with us and call out all of these Sambos, because if we don't call out the Sambos, we are fighting a losing battle. These people fight us harder than any other system that is already embedded. So one of the things I want everybody to please do, to please go get your paper and your pen. Please get your paper and pen, because I want to give you information and assignments. When we hang up this phone, we want everybody to start getting busy. It's very important that each and every person contact your pastor. Contact your pastor on January 20th. We have, excuse me, okay, we have some whistleblowers, but on January 20th, you got to know the radio. Okay, on January 20th, we're going to be having, we're going to be having 20 churches that are going to be coming together in Jonesboro, Louisiana, which is the home of the Deacons for Defense. Please go to YouTube and go to the Deacons for Defense, and you're going to see this is a town that came together, and they were the first ones to actually be armed to take care of their community, to protect the women and the children. So when we get back to that kind of mindset that we are actually protecting the children, then this is how, and the women, this is how we're going to actually get back to where we need to be. We're having the men being women and the women being men. This has got to change. Then number two, we also want every single person to get in touch with the mayor of Jonesboro, Louisiana. I actually had written that number down, but please look it up, Jonesboro, Louisiana. You want to have your pastor to get all of the pastors. Well, why would we want to do that? Because we're getting ready to disperse. We're getting ready to disperse your inheritance, your royalties, and the interest. And we're going to do separation of church and state. The funds are going to be coming to your church with whoever names are on the roll. Now, these are your inheritance from your forefathers that has been stolen and hidden, okay, with your pen and paper. With your pen and paper, make sure you write this down. Congress examines nearly $32 trillion hidden offshore. Pandora Papers. Now, that was on December the 8th, 2021, 2 years ago, 2 years ago. After we filed in 2015, 2 years ago, Congress actually had a hearing. Now, if you go to 53 minutes into that video, you're going to hear a young lady by the name of Erica Hanacek that I contacted with the FACT Foundation. She actually says, there's a family with a main interest in a lumber company that tried to evade paying $200 million in taxes. Now, how much money you got to have to pay $200 million in taxes? So, again, one of the things that we want people to understand, and I was, I'm down here in Texas right now, and while I'm down here, my cousin told me they went over, his brother passed away, and had to go to the church, and they had the funeral, and the tax assessor had told the pastor, oh, well, y'all owe back taxes. And they were like, what, taxes? He came back to them and said, no, we owe you money. And I asked him, did he pay you how much? So the way that we're going to disperse this, and again, please have your pastor and everybody who's a member of your church. And this is what has been very disturbing, and I think that this has been the downfall of the churches. We have actually seen where the churches are the ones who are stealing a lot of the money.
Yeah.
And, again, here we're talking about the Sambos where they get paid a couple of dollars to sell the rest of everybody out. So now we've already filed the lien. We want everybody to know, call your congressperson. Call your congressperson and start asking your congressman, woman, and say, we want to know about the Pandora Papers. We're not interested over there what's going on in the other part of the world. We are right here in America, and we want what belongs to us that have been stolen and hidden, and hidden. So again, this is the Pandora Papers on YouTube. Pandora Papers on YouTube. Also on YouTube, write this down, because when they were going around saying it was $30 trillion, write this down, it is $50 trillion hidden offshore, Pandora Papers, with James S. Henry, who is a financial analyst and also have actually quantified that it's not $30 trillion, that it's $50 trillion. And again now, this is from 2 years ago, and this is what we're going to have to do in order to make sure that we are getting what has been stolen from us. Even when you think about it, Reverend Pinckney, now you know when they had the Black Wall Street, they had that was 36 blocks. They had over 600 businesses. And everybody was wealthy. Everybody was wealthy. But all that money that was in all those banks, even though they bombed the city, the money still there.
Yeah.
And it's been stolen and hidden. So now we found it, and we're going to be giving it to these black churches that has been found, and it was putting that was why they wanted to have separation of church and state. Okay, you be good. So now, again, we can never stress enough. We want everybody to come on board. We want everybody to blow the whistle. Now, this is the last thing. You want to have whistleblower program .gov. And you can get that, you can contact Senator Chuck Grassley's office. We're going to be screaming very loud, very loud. Get your whistles. And I have actually, like I said, I've been here in Texas, and it's been very disturbing, all of the Amber Alerts. And so a whistle has multiple usage, multiple purposes. And so now when you're dealing with the whistleblower and blowing the whistle, I apologize.
That's okay.
I've been babysitting, and they so attacked.
I understand. But look, I got to let you go. Let's talk soon so we know where we at. I got to bring in my good friend, Dr. Tanz.
Thank you so much, and I thank Dr. Tanz for all of his information, his knowledge, his wisdom, and he gives us so much information. Thank you
absolutely
so much.
Everybody talk. I get nothing but good response from him. And lately on everybody, they know that we're doing what's right. But look, I got to go. Let's talk soon
and take it from there.
And let's bring in the one and only Dr. Donald Tanz. Talk to me, Doc.
Thank you, Honorable Pinckney. I'll say this. He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps to perpetuate it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it. That was said by Martin Luther King Jr. I am afraid that I've integrated my people into a burning building. Who said it? Martin Luther King. A man cannot ride your back unless it's bent. Who said it? Reverend Martin. Yes, I'm black. Yes, I'm beautiful. And I'm proud of it. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. We're going to Washington, D.C. to get our check. They girded up the white farmers and gave them monies to own land. They gave them monies to farm the land and gave them mechanized equipment and set up land grant universities to teach them how to grow the land. The poor peasants from Europe. But then they tell us that we need to pull ourselves up from our bootstraps. And they haven't given us the resources to provide for ourselves or care for ourselves. That's why we're going to Washington, D.C. to get our check. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Also, what Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Said is that we now have to move from civil rights into human rights. Now have to move from civil rights into human rights. And who said that? The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. 1963 was I Have a Dream. 1963 was I Have a Dream. In 1964, I Have a Plan. In 1964, I Have a Plan. And white America said, damn you, black man. Martin Luther King had moved from the 1963 dream into a plan to make things better, to make things right. Again, Martin Luther King, after the Civil Rights Act of 64, on Washington, and I Have a Dream, 1963, he was talking about a plan. And he identified himself as a black man. See, Frederick Douglass says, knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave. Frederick Douglass said, knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave. And Dr. King's knowledge made him unfit to be civil rights. When the plight was not drinking at fountains where white people drink, not using toilets where white people sit, but it was the human condition that was the issue. See, they want us, European white America, to stay in a dream state in 63. But from 66 to 68, it was revealed the hate for Dr. King. Dr. King was hated up in the North by blacks, by African Americans, by people of color, by Negroes, by niggers. And it was the black church, as we're talking about the black church, that was against King. You are from Chicago. You know what happened when King came to Chicago.
Yeah.
You know how the black church went against him. And the black church got together with the white racist separatists daily to go against King.
Yeah.
Tell me if I'm wrong. You see, so don't be talking about, oh, I love King. You treated King like you treated Jesus. You didn't love him until after he was dead. You were so ignorant that you put homosexuals over your King celebrations when they didn't have a damn thing to do with the civil rights movement or the human rights movement because they were up in their bedrooms getting it on. Yes, I said that. You were not there. Mexicans, you were not there. Native Americans, you were not there. Hispanic Americans, you were not there. Asian American, you weren't even really here on in the United States because they hadn't opened up immigrations. Arabs, you weren't here because you hadn't opened up immigrations, which didn't occur until after 68. So y'all were not here. Ask any Arab, ask any Indian, ask any Chinese, Japanese. Where are your graveyards from the civil rights, human rights movement? Where's your body count from the civil rights, human rights movement? And you know a nigga that's out their mind if they let anybody other than a black person speak on Dr. Martin Luther King when they were not there, when they were not there, when they were not there. Black people did not understand the Messiah complex of Martin Luther King. And what we have to say about black people, the African-American, the Native people, the Afro-descendant, the descendant of enslaved Africans, the BIOP, UNIG niggas, you missed it again. Like when Jesus came, you missed it. You missed it with King. That's right. The black community missed it with Dr. King. They only supported Dr. King after he was dead. Dr. King was put on banishment by the Black Six that he was a part of. They did not allow Dr. King from 66 to 68 to speak at any black churches. The only rebel church that would allow him to speak was a church called the Shrine of the Black Madonna on Linwood, down Detroit, with Reverend Cliff Cleaves, that allowed him to speak. Otherwise, he was trapped at his church. The same church that gave birth to Vernon Johns, who came before King and was trying to educate black people to do their own thing. The North said, that's the South problem. That's not our problem. We're comfortable with our oppression. Now, the South is more radical than the North when it comes to being disrespected by white people. The North uses black people to enslave black people. The North uses black people to disempower black people. The North uses black people to do the gentrification, which means black removal in the North. It was the black political leadership that removed the blacks out of Harlem. It was the black political leadership that moved the blacks out of Atlantic City. It was the black political leadership that removed the blacks from the riverfront of downtown Detroit. It was the black political leadership that allowed expressways where you had your black Wall Streets in the United States. Every place you see an expressway was a thriving black business capital that was closed and destroyed by the expressway. Reservoirs that you go and see in different cities are reservoirs that they built by flooding the black community underwater. New York, Seneca Village, the reservoir that I even jogged and ran around with when I was running track playing basketball, did not know that that was the center of New York population called Seneca Village. That Seneca Village belonged to the African and black, and it was taken over and taken away from them by whites. And their downtown center, they flooded with water and made it the Central Park, New York Reservoir. And that happened to other places in North Carolina throughout the United States. A man with knowledge is unfit to be a slave. Dr. King, working with a guy named Dr. Claude Anderson. Yes, Claude Anderson, Powernomics. Yes, Claude Anderson, black labor, black wealth. Yes, Claude Anderson, the black history leader. Together, they started talking reparations. So reparations isn't new. King, when he was talking reparations, because that was the only way to make a correction. But King was not stupid like many stupid black people today that you hear talk about. King wasn't about the dollar. That's an ignorant crackhead nigga wanting a dollar. King was about getting dollars to set up your own schools, to set up your own hospitals, to set up your own libraries, set up your own fire department, to set up your own agricultural teaching and trade schools to teach them electrical carpeting. King was saying establish an own nation, and that was due based on the government, based after the Emancipation Proclamation, money was supposed to be directed towards repairing. Reparation means to repair, repair the damage of those several hundred, those 300 years, to make sure that they're economically, educationally, technologically viable in America. King was going for that. They wanted to do us, if you just want money, that's like you and Kevin Hart putting on a dress. It's like you and Wesley Snipes putting on a dress. You're nothing but a whore and a prostitute. And once you done got paid, all you got left is a semen that's in your mouth. No, King wasn't about that. King was about what he was taught by Dr. Anderson, that you have to create generational wealth, that you have to create generational wealth, that you have to create generational wealth so that each generation becomes wealthier than the next. And that land, as Malcolm had told us, is the basis of independence. And that we've been so foolish that dumb black people sell their land instead of lease their land. But look down and start leasing the land that used to be owned the blacks, and the blacks were told to sell it. Yeah, man, you can sell that land and make a good profit, man. No, nigga. Coleman Young told you, no, you lease the land, you rent the land. But no, these dumb, educated, black-skinned white niggas wind up selling the land front, the riverfront that Coleman and Young fought to keep. When you look at your black cities, you'll see that the black ignorance was the ones who were put in charge after 68. 68 was the year of hate. 68 was the year of hate because that's when they killed Dr. King. They didn't kill Dr. King for civil rights. They killed Dr. King because of human rights. They didn't kill Dr. King for civil rights. They killed him for human rights because Malcolm X was talking human rights to King, the Black Six. Leroy Wilkins told him. Ralph Abernathy told him. John Lewis told him. You're not Malcolm, you're Martin. You're not Malcolm, you're Martin. The last thing I'll say, we're running out of time. King could not speak at any churches. When they removed his banishment to allow him to talk in Memphis, all five of those Negroes are there, the Black Six. All five of those Negroes just about have been now revealed to be FBI informants. Jesse Jackson, Lewis, Abernathy, all of them have been identified now as being on the payroll of the FBI. They removed his banishment only to set him up for assassination. And it was one of the black pastors of the group that was responsible to set King up in the position in line for the executive shooter. And the code was, when he steps away from King, take the shot. Dick Gregory revealed the video when this was shown. So I'm not talking about what I heard. I'm talking about what I know. So don't give me that King. We need to talk about the last 2 years of King. We need to talk about how Coretta Scott King stood by him when the FBI set him up, just like this Jonathan Byers, where he running down the street from a white woman. Is it no different than how they did Mike Tyson? They're comfortable back in their racism again. They're comfortable.
Absolutely. They're very comfortable. Hey, Doc, we out of time, big fella.
All right. Sorry for coming on late, my brother.
No, that's okay. We good to go. Let's make it happen. I'll see you next week. Great job, Joe. I appreciate that. Listen, I'm gonna let you go, but I'm gonna bring in 404 so 404 can say a few words. I guess he wanna say something. 404, talk to me.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Great show.
My name is Dr. Will Hawkins, Jr. You know, they say the Creator works in strange ways, and I believe it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm the owner of the only black-owned water treatment company of its type in America. We should definitely talk. I'm not going to be long-winded on here, but, fellas, we're in a race against time. We really are.
Well, listen, let me give you my cell phone, 269-369-8257.
One more again.
269-369-8257.
Gotcha.
All right, so that's the show. Listen, let's talk soon, Doc. All my doctors, yeah. I love y'all. Let's get out here and do what we have to do, and let's make people proud of us. Take care. God bless you.